Welcome to another edition of the Gold Nose Podcast. I'm your host, Gregory McCoy. This podcast is by a fan for fans. I am not a journalist. I am not a reporter. I am not an insider. I do not work for a website. The majority of my content comes from me and my opinion. Other information comes from the internet. Today is August 10th, 2020. I got about five different segments here for this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Lead off segment for this episode, man. Females have tremendous egos. And they do. They ruin a lot of stuff too, man. Like, I can remember watching the Ravens win their first Super Bowl back in, was it 2000 or 2001? I can't remember. Like, I want to say it was a defensive tackle, white guy, Italian guy. He's celebrating. He's just won the Super Bowl, probably having the best day of his life. And his wife just comes up, "I'm pregnant." Now, I'm saying, you know, most guys are going to, you know, whatever. But I thought that was kind of selfish. I'm just saying. You know. That's just my opinion. And, that's ego. Like, you have to have an ego to walk up to a guy having the best day of his life and just say that. And, you know, you encounter different people, like at the job, and, you know, they just feel like they can do stuff to you just because of who they are and what they have. You get what I'm saying? And I don't have nothing against them. I love them. But as I get older, I just notice my vision becomes clearer. Whereas when I was younger, it was distorted. But you know, women are some of the most psychologically advanced creatures God ever made, man. Far ahead of men. We have thousands and thousands of years to make up in terms of ever being able to play mind games with them. Because at the end of the day, they always have the upper hand. And I'm all for, like, you know, women advancing in all aspects of life and being on equal footing with men. I'm all for that. But I don't think they realize that they really have their advantage. They really do. They just don't know what buttons to press. They pressing all the wrong buttons. So, let me know what you think about that segment. Okay, next segment. Why football is the greatest? Why is football the greatest? It's the ultimate team sport. You know, because to get, you know, to a championship on any level, whether it be Pop Warner, junior high school, college, you have to, sometimes 40 or 50 other guys, y'all have to get on the same page. You have to put your differences aside, work as a cohesive unit, and try to win a championship. I mean, that's to me what makes it great. You know, if you're ever fortunate to play football and win a championship, and I was, I mean, the relationships that you make on that team, they last forever. You know, especially if you're fortunate enough to do it with some guys that you actually kind of grew up with. I mean, for the NFL guys, they can also say the money, because they, you know, they're getting, like Warren Sapp once said, you know, you're getting paid a king's ransom to play a kid's game. So, I mean, you know, I wish I knew that feeling, but it's competing, it's being around other athletes, it's testing yourself against the best, it's facing adversity in practice, on the field, away from the field, it's the escape from reality. It's so many benefits to this game. And, you know, that's pretty much the reason why it's the best. Played it for a long time up until my last year of high school. And enjoyed every second of it. So, as a fan now, you know, I just hope that the players can appreciate the fans, because they're like a big part of this game. And hopefully this pandemic will get eradicated and we can get back to at least being able to be around each other enough to watch sports. So let me know what you think about that segment. Florida State stuff, finally. Can Don, and I think I've asked this question before, but I'm going to do it again. Can Dante Lucas become an All-American? I think he will be an All-American, but he has to improve as a pass blocker. I mean, he's one of the best run blockers in the nation as a true sophomore. I mean, he's he's a dinosaur, he's a T-Rex, he's a rhino, he's a great white shark. I mean, when it comes to smash mouth football, there's not too many guys in college football that's going to be able to stand in front of him and move him. But as a pass blocker, you can go right around him. I mean, I've seen it. You know, I would give him probably a solid D, as in dog, in pass blocking. So I'm just hoping that the new offensive line coach can work on those skills and get him to improve in that area. If he can improve as a pass blocker, I mean, he's a first round talent now. If he can get his pass blocking up to par, you're looking at probably a top 20, 25 player in the first round. Easy. I mean, just on his run blocking skills, you looking at a first round pick. But he's got to get better in the pass blocking game. We really lucked up when we got him, because I didn't think we was going to get him, because when the white dude from Tampa went to Clemson, I was like, we not getting Dante Lucas. And I forget the other dude's name. I didn't mean to call him white dude, but I can't think of his name right now, because once he didn't commit to Florida State, I pretty much erased him from my mind. Let me know what you think about that segment, Dante Lucas, man. This next segment, you know, I don't know why I did a segment on this team. I know we struggled with them, 2 years ago, and they almost beat us, but it is what it is. Samford in the second game behind Georgia Tech. It's going to sound crazy, but we have, I don't care about any other game, but this, we have to dominate Samford. We cannot come out here and struggle against them. I almost cried in that game, man, 2 years ago. I was at work. And somehow, some way, it was on, I don't even know that channel, WMYT or something. Channel 55 in this area, and it was on, and it was crazy, man. They dominated us. And we beat them barely because of talent. That's it. Just because we had one more talented player than them. So, it's just since that loss to Oregon in the college football playoff, since that embarrassment to Oregon in the college football playoff, we've been on a downturn ever since then. And it's, can we get back up to where we used to be, man? That's really the question. Can we get back to where we used to be? I have no idea. You know, I think coaching plays a big role in this, but it's also just player attitude. You know, I don't see that same effort from the defense from years ago. I don't see that same effort from the offense from years ago that, you know, it's, we are Florida State. We're not going to go out here and embarrass ourselves. If we lose, we're going to go down, you know, guns a-blazing. It's gonna be a dogfight for them to beat us. I just don't see that anymore. And I don't know how we shifted from that mindset, because even the only thing that I can compare this downward turn to is, you know, after 2001, 2002, 03, from 03 to 09, you know, was kind of similar to this, but hell, we were still winning 9-10 games. We were so used to going to national championships, and we were only winning 9-10 games during that span. We was like, what the hell is wrong with the program? This is way worse than that. People was ready to fire Bobby Bowden, and he was still winning 9-10 games a year. He was still going 10-2. Winning ACC championships. Going to the Orange Bowl. And he ran Bobby out of town. Or at least off the team. But it is what it is. Hopefully Norvell can get us going in the right direction. Hopefully. All right, last segment for this episode. Notre Dame in the season finale. All right. Going to South Bend, the last time we went, we got embarrassed. I thought this should have been a home game for us. I just don't know what Florida State team I'm gonna get. You know, I don't. You know, just watching Norvell's Memphis team in a couple of games last year after he was a candidate. I want to say the AAC championship game I watched against Cincinnati. You know, his teams play with effort. His teams play with effort. And we're going to need that effort. To go up to South Bend and compete and be a factor. I mean, that's pretty much it. I said that his number one goal for year one is to get every player on his team to play with effort for 60 minutes. That's the goal. If he can do that, then I think you're playing with house money, because changing the mindset has to be the number one priority for this first year head coach. So that's going to conclude this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It's available on YouTube. It's available on all podcast platforms. Thank you for listening. Please social distance. Please wear a mask. Please be aware of your surroundings. Please do your research on flu and respiratory viruses. Please do your research on vitamins. And as always, go Noles.